Before we start this morning, I think I just want to just do something that we did at the Ladies' Day yesterday. Can you all just sit and rock in your chairs? Rock yourselves. It's all right, no one's looking in. Really rock. Can you imagine how tired you would be if you sat and did that all day? Just continually rocking yourself, leaning on your own energy. Okay, but we don't have to do that, do we? Because we have God and we have his strength to do all things. Now, normally I've got everything prepared and I'm okay. But you know, God has a sense of humour. We were taught that yesterday. When Gemma was saying about playing a game, one girl came up. She didn't realise she had the mic in her hand. She was one of the speakers. And she didn't realise it was being portrayed outside into what they call the hub. And when asked what game would Jesus play with you, she actually said strip poker. But when she then went on to explain, it was Jesus stripping everything in her life away that was there that she shouldn't have been doing or that she didn't need to do. You know, but God does have a sense of humour. Now, we all know the story that I'm just about to read from Luke 10, verse 25 to 37. Then an expert of the law stood up to test Jesus, saying, "Teacher, what must I do to get eternal life?" Jesus said, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" The man answered, love your neighbour like the God's heart, with all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. Also love your neighbour as you love yourself." Jesus said to him, "Your answer is right. Do this and you will live." But the man, wanting to show more importance of his question, said to Jesus, "And so who is my neighbour?" Jesus answered, "As a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, some robbers attacked him. They tore off his clothes, beat him, and left him lying there for dead. It happened that a Jewish priest was going down the road when he saw the man, and he walked to the other side. Next, a Levite came, and after he went over and looked at the man, he walked on the other side of the road. Then a Samaritan travelling down the road came to where the hurt man was. When he saw the man, he felt sorry for him. The Samaritan went to him, poured olive oil and wine on his wounds and bandaged them. Then he put the hurt man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he was cared for. The next day, the Samaritan brought out 2 silver coins, gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of this man. If you spend more money on him, I will pay it back to you when I come again.' Then Jesus said, 'Which one of these 3 men do you think was a neighbour to the man who was attacked by robbers?' The expert on the law answered, 'The one who showed him mercy.' Jesus said to him, 'Then go and do what he did.'" Just want to read you about a man who was actually a Catholic priest, and he lived in Rwanda in 1994. There was a massive civil war, and it broke out between 2 different groups in the country. It was between the Tutsis and the Hutus. Now, the Catholic priest was called Kurik, and he watched this awful war break out before him, and he saw the situation worsening in the village where he lived. A Hutu mob was raising up a mighty army and attacking the Tutsi people, and the Tutsi people had become scared for their lives, and they had started trying to struggle their families out of the country to safety. The priest provided meals and clothing, and he did anything he could to display God's love for them in this time of war and horror. As the situation grew more dangerous, UN peacekeepers were helping Father Kirkrick begin to leave the country. Asked him, "Leave the country, you're not safe." The Vatican said, leave the country, you're not safe. But he would not go. He would not lead the people who needed his help. And after 7 years and millions of deaths in Rwanda, the war ended. The country was shattered, but still the priest did not walk away. He helped the people rebuild their lives, providing housing, medical supplies. He persevered in helping to bring peace to the country and bringing the Hutu and the Tutsi people back together. The priest was not born in that country. He was with a people who spoke a different language. He had a different skin colour. He was an outsider, but he stayed to help. Now that priest certainly had a servant heart, and it mirrors God's love and actions. Do you have a servant heart like that? I'm not sure as if I could actually go as far as that. In John 12, verse 26, it says, servants, follow the Lord. Servants are found where Jesus is working. Servants will be honoured by God. And I was thinking about what you said about that testimony. That lady, no matter how poorly she was, she served. And she was honoured by God. Servants are to follow the Lord. And servants should never tell their master what to do. So to follow Christ is to be led by his spirit, to make choices with his wisdom, and to live for him, to do whatever he would have you do. But you know, if we're really honest, what we want is for Jesus to follow us around. Bless what we've chosen to do with our time and our resources. But that's not what Jesus asked of us. Today, Jesus gives us the challenge. That's in John 12, 26. Whoever serves me must follow me. And wherever I am, my servant will also be. Look into your own life today. What has God placed in it? Then ask yourself, if Jesus was given my life today, what would he do with it? Would Jesus be trying to get to the top of the crowds or to be the best leader? Would he want you to be doing that? Would he be spending so much time at work? Would he skip an opportunity to pray because his favourite TV show was on? Would Jesus have a hard time finding time to helping others because he was spending so much time on himself? Would Jesus allow something not to be done to help others because he couldn't be bothered? Or because we think it's somebody else's job? Why are we so content in letting others doing what we're very capable of doing? In John 5:17, Jesus says, my Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working. I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. God is at work in our world today, and we can be involved. So what are we doing? Do you know, many true Christians just do nothing other than attend Sunday service. Ministry and serving is just not for people who are in leadership or in groups. It's for each and every one of us. We are actively called to serve the Lord and to do his work. When we serve the Lord with gladness and passion, with enthusiasm, we will be honoured. There is no earthly honour that can compete with God's honour. Would you like to be honoured by God? Well, this can be your chance. When we present with our lives to him, we give to him our talents for him to use. When we say, Lord, here's my life. Take it. Lead it. He will. God will never give us a job that is too great or something that we can't handle. That doesn't mean to say it's going to be easy. You know, he does set challenges. But he just wants us to serve out of love. Love for him. And everything we do should be mirrored in his image and his love for us. It's not easy to love everyone, is it? Do you know, some people make that really hard. And we couldn't love everyone without his help. Do you know, there was a young boy, and he was the son of a drifter. He worked as a store clerk for a while, but he lost his job. Joined another store, and that store went under. He went into politics, but that failed too. He even attempted to run for vice president, but he lost. But eventually, he became the 16th president of the United States, and that was Abraham Lincoln. Another boy was told to leave school. He was a slow learner, too unruly. He did try for a teaching job at the age of 26, but failed. But you know, he later went on and won the Nobel Prize. His name was Albert Einstein. Those two men suffered setbacks and failed, but they persevered and became great in their field. But how much more important is it for us to use the gifts God has given us to serve him, to persevere, to become the person God wants us to be? How important is it for us to be, as a Christian, a good and faithful servant to God, using the skills that he entrusted to us? Yet often these skills are not used to serve him. We lay them aside as we get sidetracked in our own lives. The things we want to do come to the forefront. Or we could be scared or discouraged or in self-pity. Do you know, part of our service is to one another. And God wants us to love one another. He wants us to encourage one another, encourage each other to use our gifts to serve him, to help each other. In every one of our actions, we should be doing that. We should be showing God's love. Do you know, that is one of the biggest challenges, isn't it? To actually go out there when you're feeling rubbish, when you're feeling low, when you've had a bad week or a bad day, or when you're in pain. Sometimes it's really hard to even just put a smile on your face and be happy and say, hi, welcome. You know, it can be the toughest things we have to do. But you know, we need to become unselfish. We need to be kind and loving to everyone we meet, even if that person grinds on us. You know, Jesus said to us, if we act this way, you know, by showing that we love one another, people will know that we are his disciples. We need to help our own families, our family here, our communities. We need to help share their burdens. Do we actually care enough to help others with their burdens? Do we even know where each other's burdens are? Do we show compassion to one another? You know, God calls us to serve one another, to care about each other, to love one another. We need to remember that it's the small things that we do for each other that makes a difference. It could be helping someone cross the road. It could be making a phone call to see if someone's okay. It could even just be listening to somebody. We need to serve and love each other as Jesus loves us. We need to display this in our everyday lives and actions to all we meet. So when people see us, they know that we've got Jesus in our hearts. What gift has God given you to serve him with? How many people are sat there this morning saying that they think their gifting is insignificant to God? How many of you are sat there thinking, Alison, you've got it completely wrong? If I had a great talent of singing, playing a guitar or speaking or teaching, I would definitely use that gift. But all I can do is make a decent cup of tea. Let me remind you of a man of God called Samson. You know, he was tied up with ropes and surrounded by a great army of fainting men. Now, if it had been you or me, we would have probably just given up there and then and said, oh, kill me quick, and surrender. Because, you know, he didn't have any weapons. But we know in the Bible, it said that Samson picked up a weapon. And it must have been a fantastic sword, because he went on to kill 1,000 people. You know, but when you actually read on, he actually picked up the jawbone of a donkey. In Judges 15, verse 15, it says, Samson found the jawbone of a dead donkey, took it, and it killed 1,000 men. Then Samson said, with a donkey's jawbone, I made donkeys out of them. And he cried out to the Lord, you gave me, your servant, the great victory. Samson himself couldn't have done anything with the jawbone of a donkey, but as he held it in his hand, he trusted that God would do something. He trusted God. And God took that insignificant object and made a great victory. Was it the jawbone? No. It wasn't the jawbone that made that victory. It was the man. The man who held that jawbone, who was willing to let God take complete control of that situation, no matter how insignificant it seemed. In the same way, you know, making a cup of tea and listening to a stranger can be your jawbone. It can show God's love. So let God do what he has planned for you to do. If you give that situation over to God, he'll take it and he'll use it. You know, just by listening to someone over a cup of tea or talking or answering, you can be planting those seeds of God's love. No matter how awful your tea making is. Don't hold anything back because you feel inadequate. Give your services over to God. Whatever gift or service God has chosen to give you, I want you just to give it over to God and just see how that changes your life and changes the life of the others around you. Gemma got up to speak this morning, but you know, last night, yesterday, when God gave her that word, she sat there for half an hour arguing with him, I'm not doing it. I am not standing up in front of people and speaking. Mum, I'm not doing it. And I'm like, let's see what God says. How many of you think this morning, that's great? I have a gift I could use for serving God and others, but I really don't have enough time. I only just have enough time to do what I have to do. I really haven't got time to be giving to God and to others. And I really certainly don't have the energy to do anything when I finish work. You know, I'll have to go home, recharge, and just sleep. You know, but I want to remind you of Elijah. God told him, didn't he, to go and find a widow woman who would find food and care for him. Now, Elijah did go. He did what he was asked, and he found this woman and said, you know, I want you to feed me. And she actually said to him, I don't have enough for you. I've only got enough here for my son and me. You know, I really am sorry. I can't help you. But Elijah told the woman to trust God and do what God asked of him. I wonder what would have happened if she didn't trust God, if she'd kept that food to herself. Her and her son would have probably have died. But what happened? She handed it over to God, and he multiplied it, didn't he? He multiplied it over and over, and we read that the oil jar was never empty, and the flower pot or flour was never empty. Are you hoarding your time, keeping it back for yourself? Don't spiritually starve to death. Give your time and your energy to God. Let him multiply it, and you will be amazed at what you can achieve. You know, sometimes we can do what God asks of our service. We can give time to help others. And we can do everything. But there are just bits of things that we think, you know, I just can't let go of that. I have to just keep that going. I have to do that. You know, I know God wants me to do this. But, you know, he asked me to do this last year. I'm doing it and I don't want to let it go. But, you know, God has different plans for us. Mm-hmm. And we have to listen to him. And if he asks us to change what we're doing, we have to change. We have to let go. Move on into a different role. Even if we don't want to. We are here to serve. It's his will, not ours. Do you know, there was Hannah in the Bible, and she prayed, didn't she? How long did she pray for a son? And he gave her her son, Samuel. And yet she knew that one day she'd have to take him to the tabernacle and hand him over. Whoa, how many times walking into that tabernacle would I have turned round and walked out at the thought of leaving my child? I wonder how many times she did turn around before she actually handed him over. How many of here think, what an awful mother, just to go and leave your child? But you know, she trusted God. She did what was asked of her. And you know, God cares for our most precious things more than we do. And it's really okay to put them in his hands. He will care for them much more than we could ever care for them. He wants to free us. He wants to free us from everything that is holding us back from serving him. Please don't leave Benedictine Church today, okay? You know, sometimes we just really try, don't we, to hold on. Because we need those things in our life. But we need to let go. We need to let God have his way. We need to remember how much God loves us and how much he loves all those things that are precious to us. Whether it be our families, our jobs, our home, we need to trust them. And we need to follow his commandments and serve him. Sometimes we're just not brave enough. Sometimes, you know, when you know you've got to come to speak, I think sometimes it's that you feel like you're stood and you're just going to do a bungee jump. Your stomach can be going over and over, you know. And so sometimes, you know, I stand there and I'm like, Lord, just take me. You know, just use me. Get rid of these nerves, you know. Let me just be your vessel. But, you know, sometimes it's really hard, isn't it? And we could be sitting there thinking, oh, I might quite like to help with the children's work, or I might like to go on the tea rota. You know, but there could be other people around you saying, you don't do that. You know, that's a bit beneath you, you don't want to do that. Or someone else can do that much better than you, you're rubbish, you know. But, you know, don't listen to them. Listen to God. Listen to what God is asking you to do. You know, people may tell you it's impossible to do anything for God. But, you know, with God, nothing is impossible. God knows what we can cope with and what we can do. He gave us the gifts. And he gave us the gifts to use to serve him and serve others around us. You know, but sometimes it does get really hard, doesn't it? We can feel exhausted, scared, ridiculed, criticised. But God has placed this in your heart to do. And what I want you to remember today is, who are you serving for? God's given us the gift, but he might not have given us an easy route. The last person I want you just to think about in the Bible today is a man stood outside a tomb. His hands bears the scars of nails. His name is Jesus. He suffered the worst pain, the worst humiliation for you and for me. If you ever feel that God has placed things in your hands that are too much for you to cope with, think of Jesus. Think of his hands and don't give up. Trust in God. Remember what Jesus went through to serve us. God gave you a gift to serve, to share his love with others around you. No matter how insignificant, no matter how inadequate you feel, God has given it to you for a reason. Whether it's cleaning the toilet, cooking in the cafe, teaching Sunday school. The Lord will only look at how well we handled the task that he sets us. So listen to what he has to ask you to do and use the gifts that he has given us to the full, to serve him. We need to serve with a gracious heart, without moaning, and to the best of our abilities. So when the Lord returns, we will hear him say, "Well done, you good and faithful servant." We must allow the Holy Spirit of God to take complete control of our lives. We must take up the cross daily, deny ourselves and follow Jesus. We must not look through life with the eyes of the world. We must not look for greatness in the world. We must ask God to take away our selfishness and our selfish ambitions. We must be humble. And this can be painful. But we must remember what Jesus did at the cross. We need to trust and rely on the love of Jesus and prayer. And remember, not our will, but yours. We must not lay up treasures on earth, but share and store up our treasures in heaven. Treasures of selfless service, of love for God and for one another. Serving isn't easy. And as we become more like Christ and take on the burdens of others, we feel their pain. We cry with others, but we laugh too. And you know, when you see people stood here sharing, they've got burdens in their life too. You know, but we need to hand them over to God. Because without his help, we couldn't do nothing. Serving isn't about moving up the ladder. It isn't about allowing yourself to come. It's about allowing yourself to become the least for the sake of others. It says in Mark 10:44, "Whoever wants to become the first among you must serve all of you like a slave." Just like Jesus, the servant king, he came to serve, not to be served. We should serve one another with joy in our hearts. There are days when we want to hear these words when God comes, "You good and faithful servant." It's not enough to do nothing. It's not enough to do nothing. And you know, yesterday we were sat there and these words are words which you can remember. And I want you to take these four words and I want you to take them into your heart today. Let go. Let God. Let go. Just let go. Hand yourself over and let God do with you what he's planned for you before you were born. We can fight him and we can say no. But you know, in the end, we just need him to take us and take control. Shall we just pray?
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the gifts that you've given us. We may not know what they are yet, but you've given each of us a gift. And in your love and through you, we want to serve you. No matter how small a thing we have to offer, we offer it rejoicing and joyfully to honour you. And Lord, I just ask that today you talk to us and you lead us, and that we give ourselves over wholly to you, to your service. It's your will, not ours. Amen.